Christ-centered service. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. I'd like us to read together. Are we there? If you are there, say, I'm there. I need you to be there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14. Can we read together? For the love of Christ constrain us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have no Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Verse 17, read louder. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Continue to read. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Continue. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Continue to read. Now, then we are advanced us for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Christ-centered. The place read shows to us how God gave Christ for us. Don't forget John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul the apostle, in his writing to the Corinthian church, gave more explanation of that verse. In that verse 15 of 2 Corinthians where we read, and that he died for all. How many people did he die for? He died for all. Not only that he died for all, the later part of the same verse says, who died for them and also rose. Jesus did not only die for us, he also rose for us. Hello, church. I said he rose for us. And he did not only rise for us, he is also seated for us. All he did for man. He came for man. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. He came for man. When he was living physically on earth, he lived for man. Not only that he lived for man, he also went to the cross because of man. He did nothing worthy of death. Pilate, all of them gave witness that we cannot find anything guilty of death in this man. Yet the people shouted, crucify him, crucify him. And the Bible says that they did not know what they were doing. The Bible says if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. While they were shouting, crucify him, do you know what they were doing? They were bringing the purpose of God to fulfillment. According to the fallen angel of God, prophet in the Bible has spoken here before Jesus came. Isaiah, for instance, says, "For our sake he was bruised," in chapter 53. "He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him, and by his scribe we are healed. It was pierced because of us." Psalm spoke about it, that this man will come and he will suffer all that he will suffer. And Luke 24, please, you can write down verse 25 and 26. Jesus spoke to the people on their way to Emmaus. He said, "Oh fools, ought not Christ to have suffered this thing and to enter his glory?" To suffer this thing. So he actually suffered it. It was not a pleasure for him when he went to the cross. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, "Cursed is he that is hung on the cross, as it is written." So he carried the cross. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 13, 14, 15, "Those things that were written against us, he took them from the way, he nailed them to the cross." Are you following me this morning? He did all these because of us. So we are believers today. We are saved today because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Why Peter was writing in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, 10, and 11. He said the prophet spoke about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Suffering first before the glory. Before he entered the glory, he suffered. Suffered for sin. The righteous for the unrighteous. And that is what verse 21 of that place we read this morning, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, it says, "Who knew no sin, and God made him to be what? To be sin for us." Not sinner. God made Christ, for it was an intentional act. Not that they were looking for who. I think the thief has run away. Who can we pick? No. It was an intentional. You are going to the earth to suffer. Jesus knew. So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So today we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because somebody had paid the price. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their iniquity unto them. Now, let's go back to where we are reading. 2 Corinthians 5. Are we there this morning? Are you following me? Let's read verse 15 again. "And that he died for all." I can't hear your voice. "That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." The Bible says, henceforth, we should no longer live unto ourselves. My drive on earth, your drive on earth, should not be self-centered. Should not be all that I want to be. It should be all I want to be for Christ. All I want to do for the Lord. I'm going somewhere this morning. Your drive, your motive, your motto in life, either in your career, what do you want to be? Somebody will say, "What is your dream?" Your dream is not yet a dream until your dream can be found in his dream. He has a dream. He left his dream for us. He left his vision for us. He left his purpose in our hands. It must be our consecration to make up our mind that the dream of this man, because he was a man when he came, although he was God and he is God, but he became a man. The dream he left behind must prosper in our hands. Remind me this song later. I will sing of the goodness of God. I was praying this morning that Lord make me to remember that song. I pray, I don't remember. So he brought it now. So remind me later. Until I lay my last breath. And when I'm passing on, I should also pass the same vision, the same dream to the coming generation, including my biological children. Thank you. Are you following me this morning? Including my biological children. Don't leave anything to chances. Don't just think that people should know. No. We have to do this intentionally. We follow his dream intentionally. And we pass the same dream to the coming generation intentionally. That's why the Bible says, you are not unwise. You know what the will of the Lord is. Who is a wise man? A wise man is a man who understands the purpose of God and follow it. Can't you remember what Jesus said about that foolish man in the Bible? He gathered wealth. That year his farm produce was much. And he said to his soul, oh my soul. Amen. Rest, Jerry. Eat and drink. You don't need to labor again. Self-centeredness. And the Bible said that same night, his soul was required from him. All he labored for. The only reference we had about him today is that he died. You must make up your mind that when we are going to read, the coming generation going to read or hear about you, is that you serve the Lord. There are services and there are services. Some people today, they are serving the devil. But I love what the Bible says about David in Acts 13 verse 36. Let's see something there. Acts 13 verse 36. Look at even David, who physically did not witness the death, the burial and resurrection of Christ. It was a prophecy to him. Acts 13 verse 36. Are we there? Okay, let's read. For David, after he had served his own generation by what? By the will of God, fell on sleep and was led unto his father and saw corruption. But what I need is the first statement. For David, he served his generation according to the will of God. You can as well write it this way. For David served the will of God in his generation. So whose will am I serving? You have your own will, don't forget. God has a will. I have a will. The devil has a will. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I'm coming. Verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Are you there? Can we read louder? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there is a will of the flesh. Even apart from the man, the flesh also has its own will. There is something the flesh wants to crave for if you don't put the flesh under control. The will of the flesh. So even in my service, I can serve the flesh, but I will not. I can also serve. I'm serving man. I can serve man. If you serve man, the man is talking here. He's talking the man in the natural. He's not talking about spiritual man. You know, some people can be, I'm serving Nigeria. Oh, I'm serving my community. Very good. But are you serving according to the will of man? The highest will is the will of God. The highest will. It's not the will of the flesh. It's not the will of man. Man build system. You remember Genesis chapter 11? The Tower of Babel. That's Babylon. Competing with the will of God. But we saw what happened to them. Futility and destruction. There is a will of him we must serve. The will of him who died for us. He gave himself as a sweet smelling savor. Let's go ahead a little. To center on something is to focus. To keep guessing at certain objects. To keep your gaze on something without removing your eyes. So when we say Christ-centered, we are talking about you gazing your eyes on Christ. We are talking about focusing on Christ. There are many people that started focusing on Christ, but at the middle of the road, they shifted their attention and begin to look at themselves. Some people are going to look at the world. When we talk about Christ-centered, we speak of Christ's focus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews. Wherefore, verse 1 and 2, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, you know, when he said wherefore, you can't start a statement with wherefore. So you have to go to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, he spoke about heroes of faith, starting with Moses, Abraham, Jethro. Talked about David, talked about Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac. He spoke about different men in the Old Testament that God has used. Are you following me? And when he was speaking about these men, at the end he said, they are not yet made perfect without us. All that they did, God said, I will not seal it yet until you put your own. And you know those men, despite the fact that Christ had not come, all they had was word that Christ will come. So they serve what we can call pre-coming of Christ. And they were serving Christ-centered. You can write Romans chapter 1 verse 1. It's clear there. They did not see him. They were only aware that he was coming, and they were giving their services towards his coming. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 24, he said, those things that were written concerning me. So even those that asked writing, permit me to use writing ministry. Because not all prophets in the Bible wrote down. But those that has writing ministry, they were written concerning him. Those that had a singing ministry, their song was towards him. If you see songs that were raised in the Bible, Moses, David sang Psalms, it was concerning him. The prophet prophesied concerning him. So whatever your ministry here, Christ centered. You know what? Those men, That's why Jesus said that Nineveh, Sodom and Gomorrah will stand against a generation. We that did not even see him, we heard that he was coming, and we did in his name. How much more you and I that he had not come for? If those who were looking up to his death did their services towards him, we are not looking up to his death. We are one enjoying it. They were using bull, they were using calf, they were using ram as a sacrifice for their sin. Yes, they know that somebody is coming. This was a shadow. Yet they were giving their services. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, if the ministration under condemnation is that glorious, you see how much more? If those people under condemnation, those people under bull, under the blood of animal, were doing what they were doing, how much more now that the blood of Christ is speaking for us, that we're supposed to do more? Is somebody following me this morning? To live is Zao in Greek, Z-A-O, just like Zoe is life. To live is Zao. It speaks of lifetime. We can conclude around it to say to serve, because generally man on earth is to serve humanity. It's unfortunate, even those who are in parastatals, in other field, politics, economies, education, that there are some people are serving themselves. You are not to live for yourself, naturally. Are you following me? Even if you are not, if somebody is an unbeliever, he's not even supposed to be in leadership for himself. Now that we are believers, our services, our motion, our motive must be around Christ. Otherwise, it's all in life is just to eat and die. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 32. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 32. I'd like you to be there. Are we there? Let's read from verse 31. Everybody. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with these at Ephesus, what advantage it me? If the dead rise not, let us what? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. The beast he's talking about is talking about human being, people that were fighting against the gospel. Paul said, why should I waste my time fighting if there is no resurrection? If not, I am doing it for the sake of Christ. I should just what? Go to my school, read medicine, married, give birth to children, enjoy life, eat, die. Why should you come to church? Please get my point this morning. Don't make a mistake that the reason of coming to church is to get those things. Unbelievers are getting it. God is God to all. Bible says he makes the rain to fall upon the good and the evil. He makes the sun to shine upon the good and the evil. You don't need to be a Christian to become a medical doctor. Even the atheist who said there is no God, God did not kill him. Bible only call him foolish. It's only the fool says there is no God, but God did not kill him. Yet, you know what? God is still blessing him. For you to know that our drive in church is not to get those things. The reason why we pray, the reason why we preach, the reason why we do all we do is not because we want to get those things. I've seen men who finish their PhD and lay it down at the foot of Christ. People who study, masters, people who get whatever you can, professors, medical doctors. Sam mentioned it. You see people who are even president of companies, leaders, CEO, when they come to church, they lay down. So Paul said, look at Paul, he had PhD. With all his education, he studied under Gamaliel. That is the best professor of his time. He said, I count those things as dung. Philippians chapter 3. Shit. Igbe. Things I can throw away. He said, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He said, that I may win Christ. Those things that were gained to me. Hebrews of Hebrew, a Pharisee, master of law. But there's something I'm pursuing, Christ. So he said, I fought with the beasts of Ephesus because there is Christ. You don't need to come to church to be popular. You don't need church to be popular. It's a mistake that people use church for popularity, but you don't need church to be popular. There are popular ideas, but don't worry, there is a driving that is driving us. Let's go back to where we started from. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14. Please read it, everybody. For the love of Christ. What do you mean of constraint? I really want to go, but there is a constraint. I don't like doing what I'm doing. I'm not supposed to be here this morning, but the love of Christ is constraining me. I'm not supposed to love this brother back. I'm not supposed to forgive him. But the love of Christ constrains me. I'm not supposed to pray the way I'm praying. I'm praying too much. And I'm giving too much for the Lord. But when I want to think about it, what he did came back to me. I'm not supposed to give the way I'm giving. I wonder why men in Acts chapter 2 sold their properties. What did they hear? No, they must have heard something though. I remember some years ago I sold my car, my Audi. I was using one Audi car then. And I said, okay, let me give the tithe of that money to the Lord. So some people were going for mission work, so I gave it. So as I was thanking God, Father, I thank you. God said, he that loved much gave all. Sir? I took that money, I gave it to the church. I gave it to the accountant of our diocese then. There is a mission, I gave it. I didn't tell my bishop, he sent for me. God, I cannot report it to him that I gave that kind of money. He said, why did you do it? I said, the Lord. No, when I said the Lord, he took no argue again. So I said, I started trekking with my leg. The love of Christ constrains us. One day, I think Pastor was with me that day, but he didn't know what happened to me. This St. Clair's, there is a chapel there, Anglican Compass Fellowship, we were to do interview for them, and then you were invited for that interview. And there was that building, there was no ceiling. And I was looking up. God said, if it is your father's house, will you leave it like this? Somebody gave me 50,000 naira for another car, so that I can support, not that I can buy a car, but that God said, that 50,000 naira, come and give it to this work. I'm not the pastor of that church. We just use it for interview. I said it's evil spirit that was speaking to me. I actually casted out that spirit, but the spirit did not go until I gave it. The love of Christ constrain us. Is somebody following me this morning? That we no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died. Don't forget that I say Christ center, because when I gave that money, I was not thinking about the pastor of that church, because it was not him I gave the money to. When I gave the first one, I was not thinking about my bishop, because it was not him I gave it to. Even if he's the one that will spend that money, but there is Christ in him that I'm serving. Are you following me this morning? Something is constraining you. The love of Christ is the one motivating you, is the one pushing you to do what you are doing. I mean, even what you are doing, people are wondering, why are you doing the way you are doing? Even sometimes, you don't have words expressly to explain. I was talking with some couple last week. I mean, the way I could just explain it is just this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. There are sometimes you don't have words to express it. Why is your pastor love you so much? Why is he giving you word? We are teaching you every time. Why is he laying hands on you? Why is he praying for you? Have you sat down and asked questions? Why did he ask us to come in the morning and ask us to come in the evening again? Why? Until you know why you are doing what you are doing, the love of Christ constrain us. Somebody follow me this morning. Christ in that service is also seen in our love motivated conduct. Love motivated conduct. Somebody beside your house offended you. You are not even supposed to greet him for life, but say good morning. He said, we have just come to say sorry for what happened last week. Last week, I forgive you that day. Because Bible says, as God forgave us in Christ, so we forgive one another. Love motivated conduct. The way I live my life, I gave my life. What I gave my life for before, Christ changed me. Christ transformed me. Now, I'm living for him. What I used my time for before was nonsense, was nothing to be written about, was nothing to be spoken about in the public. But now I use my time for evangelism. I use my time for follow-up. I use my time to bring more people. Don't forget his vision to bring more people unto him. Yesterday I called one of my lady in Loring. I said, where are you? I want to speak with you. He said she just came from church just to eat. She's going for follow-up. That even pastor must not know that she came home to eat. She's a banker. Not that she doesn't have a job. She worked with UBA. But Saturday, you can't, in the church she attend, you can't say Saturday I will come for work, sir. Okay, I say, who will work on Saturday? You say, I'm available. No, she's not available on Saturday. And she's not available on Sunday. She just came back from workers' retreats. Come to eat, going back to follow up. What's constraining her? Are you following me this morning? Love of Christ. His vision to ensure that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as water covered the sea. His vision. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. Who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? All men. Don't forget to die for all men. So my neighbors, my friend, I want to ensure that all men. Paul said, a man motivated by the love of Christ. He said, to the Romans, I became like a Roman. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. That I may save some. Save some. Somebody say, save some. And the way you are talking, say, save some. To ensure that some are saved. He knew that he can't save all. But he must save some. Other people will save the others. Save some. Love motivated service. Service motivated by Christ or Christ-centered service is free from eye service. Is free from self-glorification. Free from prayer. And I want to, with all sincerity, I was just thinking this morning how organically the work of God is moving in this church. No prayer. No prayer. Because what brings prayer is, what will people say? You want to satisfy somebody's conscience. That's what brings prayer. But I want to say thank you to God and to God's servant here. I allow this work to go organically. Organically. Because you know what? It's going to be very, very soon. This place is going to be too small for us. Very, very soon, I say. Hear me and hear me well. Very, very soon, I say. And I'm saying again, by the Spirit of the Lord, that the Love Embassy Church will be in many places. In many places. In many places. In many places. In many places, in many places, in many places, in many places, to harvest more. To have, somebody say, harvest more. Sir, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. We know this story, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. The sons of the prophet went to Elisha and said, where we are? It's too small for us. Please pay attention this morning. God will soon be rounding up. They came to Elisha. This place we are. Who came, man? Who came? He didn't know. Who came? The sons of the prophet. It wasn't Elisha that came to them and said, let's have a meeting, brethren. I think the Lord is blessing us and we are enlarging. I think we need. No. It was them. They were the one who came to Elisha and said, sir, where we are doing service is becoming small. One of the blessings that God has blessed this place, and the Lord is just going to bless this place, and God can bless any man, is a blessing of men. Men whose heart stay, men whose heart is on the Lord, men who understand the vision of Jesus and they are ready to give, ready to serve, to ensure that that vision comes to pass. This man come to Elisha and said, please just give us permission. We want to go and cut some tree so that we can enlarge our space. Elisha said, go. Please pay attention. I'm going somewhere. My surprise is that this man did not have what it took for them to expand that place. They went to borrow. Can you imagine putting your integrity down for the church? He didn't borrow to eat. He didn't borrow to buy clothes. Those are people borrow to buy clothes. You don't know. Yeah, you know. Maybe some of you are here like that. That's why no one answered me. This man borrowed. The ass they took. You know when they asked, Elijah did not even know that they borrowed the axe. It was when the axe fell into the water that they say, oh God, now borrow, we borrow ammo. Lift up your two hands for everyone who has made one sacrifice or the other to ensure that this work is where it is. And your heart is saying, Lord, this is where we give our service. I pray that the God who made the earth to come and float on the river, for the people to pick it up. Everything you have given, everything you have sacrificed, you are receiving it back in double, multiple fold in the name of Jesus Christ. Shame is far away from you. Shame is far away from your family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. They went out of their way. They did not only sacrifice their time, they did not even sacrifice themselves. They said, we will go and sacrifice our integrity. That was too much for me. They went to borrow it. I remember the three servants of David. David said, oh, how I wish I could get a water to drink. He didn't ask them to go. They just whispered. Any kind of man like that. A pastor was leaving over here to another state. Some people just gathered together. They didn't tell him. The person who is among them told me this. They said, "Let's." Pastor sold his car. When he came, he was using one car. He sold that car. He didn't have car. Let's go. They just organized themselves and bought a Sienna and gave it to that man. Pastor Steve will know what I'm talking about. These three men of David went and get water. They went, you know what? They were not even afraid of death, because garrison of Philistines was on the way. And they overcame that garrison. The garrison is a troop of soldiers, okay? And I don't know how they did it. Because David was even wondering how they could, because David was the one who usually lead them to battle. But these men have been trained, they understand. And they know the curriculum, how to calculate it. And they went and brought the water to David. David said, I can't drink it again. I'm no more thirsty. He couldn't drink the water again. He poured it as a libation to the Lord. The same thing Jesus in John chapter 4 sent the disciples, go and buy food for me. He was hungry. Before they brought the food, he was doing evangelism. Oga, the food is ready. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. something is driving me. Allow Christ to drive you. I'm going to round up with Romans chapter 15. See, you have not forgotten that song. Don't forget it. Romans chapter 15. Sorry, chapter 16. Let's read from verse 1. Are we there? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that she assist, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she had need of you. For she being a succorer of many and of myself also. Phoebe was a pastor in Rome, in the church in Rome. She is a lady. For those who don't like lady pastor, Phoebe was a lady. You know, I invited one woman to come and preach in one of the churches I pastored before. And as she stepped on the pulpit to preach, so I saw one man step out. So I was wondering, what is this man going out to do? Immediately the woman finished preaching, the man walking. So later I said, somebody now told me that she said that she cannot, he cannot sit down. A woman is preaching, and he cannot preach. You know, yeah, boo boo. What you cannot do. Even you supposed to be ashamed of yourself. Immediately after preaching, you're supposed to go and kneel down and say, God, you must use me too. Amen. I say amen. When you see somebody does what you cannot do, say, God, as you appreciate, and say also convert that grace. Not just appreciate. Oh, thank God for your life. T.L. Osborne was in China for many time doing mission, and there was no soul saved. So he came back with his wife and said, there are no more going. So one day the wife went out, and wife was coming back and saw William Branham doing crusade. And then the woman just said, who is doing crusade there? Let me check and see. She saw mighty move of God. She went to him and called her husband. That crusade, we are going tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere. We are going. She persuaded the man to attend the crusade. When T.L. Osborne saw how William Brown was ministering, he marveled him. Right there, the Holy Ghost spoke to him. What that man is doing, you also can do it. T.L. Osborne went back home and locked himself in a room. Don't just appreciate, I appreciate. He went back to his room and said, Lord, and the Lord said, you can do it. He packed his load again back to China and did another crusade. As people do this, they didn't want to hear. He said, oh, power of God, move. If somebody was paralyzed, stood up and began to walk. When he came to Ibadan, he said they would not allow him to preach. He said, allow me to pray. He gave him a microphone. He said, all the lame people here, stand up and walk. The power of God broke out. He saw it somewhere. God told him in William Brown crusade, you too can do it. I think I'm speaking to somebody, because this is not the center of my message. The Lord brought us there. There's somebody here. People here. And God is calling your attention. What you saw here, the gift you saw here, the power of God you saw here, the ministry you saw here, maybe through one person ministering to you, discipling you, pastors preaching, teaching here, the power of God moving here, you can pick it up. You can pick it up. God is calling your attention. You can do it. You are made for it. Don't just sit down and watch things happen or happening. Be part of the happening. Be part of what God is doing. Be part of the happening. Be part of the happening. Help me preach to your neighbor. Be part of the happening. Be part of the happenings. Be part of the happening. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16. Phoebe was a pastor in Romans church. And Paul said, Phoebe is coming for a program. Phoebe is coming for a ministry. When she comes, ensure that you help her. The business is talking there. It's not talking about physical business. Are you following me? It's talking that Phoebe is coming. Assist her in everything you can do. She said, even Phoebe herself is a succorer of many. What do you mean, succorer? Supporter. Somebody who had helped people. Paul said, even including me, this woman has been a blessing. Support her. Support the leader. Support the work. Go ahead with me. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helper in Christ. And Paul was specific here. He was mentioning names. Why is his name alone they are mentioning in this church? Who will so mention your name? Do the message I'm preaching now, I'm going to preach in my church. I was praying this morning. Said, this message, I'm going to preach in my church. Let the fire of God rest upon your heart. The zeal of the Lord, the passion of God, the love of God rest upon your heart. In whatever level it has been before, receive more! Receive more! Receive more! Receive more! Receive more! In the name of Jesus! My helper in Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Ooh! Please, everybody, open your eyes and read verse 4. Ooh! For my life, lay down their own neck. Unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles are giving thanks for one man, for one family, Priscilla and Aquila, lay down their own neck. Not even hand, madam. Not even leg. He said, you can step here, sir. They lay down their own neck. That's one of the hymns I love in our church. For me and for the gospel's sake. For the sake of the gospel. Lay down their own neck. I want to ask you a question. How much have you laid down? How much have you laid down? I'm in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. They even have a church in their house. They gave their building for church service. This is how we have a property somewhere. Around the church is looking for a place. We can give it up. Let me round up. Psalms salute my well-beloved Ephinetus, who is the first fruit of Achaia's unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestow much labor on us. Much labor on us. Much labor on us. Much labor. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kindred and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. They are of note. Is it among the pastors? These men are of note. You must stay, you must pay attention to these ones. Among the workers, the steward in this church, these ones are of note. All the stewards are doing well, but these ones, they are of note. Of note. These are people we can't ignore. We can't say we don't know. I mean, the work was so feasible. The sacrifice was so feasible. So obvious to be ignored. People were giving in the days of Christ that Jesus said, no, come, what this woman did. Everywhere the gospel is preached. We will mention it now. We are mentioning it now. Stand up on your faith. Must labor on us. Let's sing that song. Associate now.
May that awaken until I lay my head. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Say it again. I love you, Lord.
Love you, Lord. For your mercy is never failed. Until I lay my head, I will see.
out your hands and say, Lord, until I lay the last breath, let my labor honor you. Lord, let my life honor you. Lord, let my labor honor you. Until I lay the last breath. Lord, I pray, let your dream become a dream. Your vision become a vision. Let your love constrain my heart. Nothing to glorify the flesh. Much labor. Much labor, oh God. My labor will not be few. Pray, everybody, pray. My labor will not be few. Much labor. Much labor, Lord. My labor will not be few. 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 Say maladia la baia. Ero dalla baradia lo dopo sabale. My labor will not be few. My labor will not be few. I give myself to what God gave himself to. My labor will not be few. For the gospel saved, for the church, for the saints. My labor will not be few. My labor will not be few. My labor will not be few. My labor will not be small. I just got much labor. Much labor. Much labor. My heart is with the church. My heart is with the gospel. My heart is with the leader. My heart. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lift up your hands as I pray with you. Every stirring of the spirit that God is doing while the message was going on, let it become a reality in your life in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, Love Embassy Church, that your love abound yet more and more. In the name of Jesus. In Philippians 1:5, Paul told the church at Philippi, he said, your participation in the gospel from the first day, I pray for your consistency. Love Embassy Church, your love abound yet more and more. More and more. More and more. You are not of them that draw back. You are not of them that draw back. You are not of them that draw back. In the name of Jesus, your love abound yet more and more. Nothing wound your love. Nothing wound your heart. Nobody draw you back. Nothing draw you back. We will have good record, more record of great work, of great things the Lord does through you in the name of Jesus. This work of God here is expanding, and nothing shall stop this expansion in the name of Jesus. The children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. When they came out, the king of Moab, that's Balak, he said, these people are many. It became threat to him. An evil jealousy arose. I pray for this house. Evil jealousy will not prosper here. Amen. Evil jealousy will not prosper here.
Balaam said, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? He said, God has blessed this one. I cannot reverse it. I pray the blessing of God over this house, the anointing of God over this house, cannot be reversed in the name of Jesus. From strength to strength. 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 You take borders. You take cities. In the name of Jesus, this city of Ofa, we obey the voice of God in this house. In the name of Jesus, the strength of our land will be yielded for the work of God in this place. In the name of Jesus. He said, everywhere the sole of thy feet shall step, he said, we take it for you as possession. Spiritually, physically, we have stepped into this place. The church has stepped to this place. So we take possession. Spiritually, we take possession. Physically, in the name of Jesus, this land will not harbor evil against you. Kuraneki barunas rekito baradekiko shaba radekos veliande parinekosha erosifateya baraneko semiliad radekumai regege makusa ejagano. Reko Bariane Eso Barate Go Ejaga Gaga Gaga Gaya Eso Bariane To Zelia Vanake Rakemo Kuke Subarenokuta Eforiga Baye Eso Baliate Gosh Rakeli Vasipa Ejevele Bakuria Te Vasia Rakelo Baria Soviande Kosete Ejage Barade Kotiata Rake Gadande Subarate Solia Gade Shada Eko Rada Pere Neko Subarate Rake Gabragelo Subarade. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever that is fighting church, whatever that is fighting the saint, fighting the house of God, I speak over this house as a servant of the Lord. They will not prosper here in the name of Jesus. No weapon fashioned against this house shall prosper in the name of Jesus. I say again, no weapon fashioned against Love Embassy Church shall prosper in the name of Jesus. The work has come to prosper, and nothing can the enemy do about it. We speak again with the corporate grace that is in this house. We speak in the name that's above every other name. Every demon, every beast that warring against the move of God, we address you wherever you may be. We say, this is not a place for you. This is not your target. This is not your house. This is not your place. this is not your territory. We command you out in the name of Jesus. Evil eyes will not set over this place. Evil hand will not spread over this house. In the name of Jesus. Love Embassy Church, we speak to you. Grow them all. Increase. Expand. Take to the left. Take to the right. Take to your front. Take at your back. Take in the name of Jesus. Possess more in the name of Jesus. Possess your territory in the name of Jesus. Love Embassy Church, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Your branches will leap over the wall. Jacob prophesied over Joseph. He said his branches leap over the wall. I pray for you, sir. I pray for this house. The branches of Love Embassy Church will leap over the walls. In other words, no wall will limit this church. Nothing will limit this work. Nothing will limit this work. No power will limit this work. In the mighty name of Jesus, if there is any voice over this place before we come, we have come in the name of the Lord, the name that's above every other name. Negative voice, evil voice, we silence you today and we silence you forever in the name of Jesus. No arrow against this house will prosper. No evil agent will enter this house. In the mighty name of Jesus, this environment, men around this place, women around this place, they will come to worship God here. They will welcome and serve God here. In the name of Jesus, it will be noticeable that God is in this place. It will be noticeable, obvious to all, that the hand of God is upon this place. Men shall come from far, men shall come from near, to receive from this place, to serve in this place, to love in this place, to be part of this family, in the name of Jesus. We pray for you, servant of the Lord. This is just the beginning. Your strength will not fail you. We pray your strength will not fail you. Your heart will not fail you. This is just the beginning, sir. See the Spirit of the Lord. You will look around and you will behold your sons and daughters. And you will ask, who has begotten these ones? When? How? You won't be able to find out how. Because if you are able to find out how, it will be as if it's by your strength. But you won't be able to find out how. All you will resort to is that this can only be God. And this testimony is what we keep resounding in this house in the name of Jesus Christ. Men that God has given to you, the Lord will strengthen their hands. As men labor with you here, in the name of Jesus Christ, the labor will not be few. Much labor, much labor, much favor,
Much, plenty. Plenty favor. Plenty blessing. Much blessing. In this place, need will continue to be met. People will continue to grow. The church continue to edify. The sea continue to be healed here. Barren will continue to give birth here. In the name of Jesus, miracle keep happening here. Miracles keep happening here. Men, women in this house continue to win souls. Disciple men to the glory of the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not be left alone. I pray for you, sir. Your men will surround you. 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 Your children will surround your table. You will see your children, both biologically and in the Lord. You will see your children. And so shall it be. We pray for Mama. May the Lord rest upon her. The Lord bless the entire family. The Lord bless the labor of pastors here. In the mighty name of Jesus, the Lord uphold you. You have been a succorer. You will keep on being. She will not be a disappointment. In the mighty name of Jesus, this house, shepherded by this family, and the Lord has placed the mantle upon you, sir, this house will prosper. I'm telling you, flourish. Men will flourish here. Men will find joy in serving here. They will find joy serving the Lord with you. And so shall it be in the name of Jesus. Thank you. So we declare this work here. We declare it open. Declare it blessed. This house blessed. In the name of God the Father. And God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit.
We will sing of the good.